Hello, and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 301. This is Proverbs 22. So, this will probably be a fairly quick one. There was just a few things that resonated with me. Verse 4 says, true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. You know, I wonder if my pastor talks about prosperity preaching a lot, and really how that goes against God's word. And sometimes I wonder if it's scriptures like this that maybe became the origin of that misinterpretation. Let me read it again. True humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life. If you took that apart from the rest of the Bible and you just focused on that one scripture, it could be totally misconstrued. But we know that not all God-fearing people are rich, and we know that not all God-fearing people live a long life. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people and God's people. So I think that scripture can be misleading. So I want to read my Bible study Bible said that this focuses on the way things should be, but not necessarily on the way things are. So it says, the general observation that fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life would have been especially applicable to an obedient Israelite living in Solomon's God-fearing kingdom. Nevertheless, some have been martyrs at a young age, and some have given away all their wealth for the sake of God's kingdom. The book of Proverbs describes life the way it should be. Does not dwell on the exceptions. So, of course, there are exceptions to that, but that's the ideal. So, anyways, I know that I've had a friend express to me before that she was going to a really big mega church that had that viewpoint, and they really kind of drove that point home that if you truly are God's people, you should be wealthy and prosperous. And they really, really drove it home because they were building a huge church and they were having to pay for the building. And I think they were wanting their members to be more prosperous. I don't know. But prosperity preaching has become really sickening, the way it's done now. And that's not the way that God intended that. Anyways, I'm sure. So verse 6, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I've heard this scripture a lot. I like this one. When I was homeschooling, that resonated with me a lot. I kind of referred back to that to give myself motivation to keep going, because that's not an easy thing to do, that homeschooling. But, you know, I read my study Bible for that part, and it went a different direction with it, because I always assumed that scripture was talking about direct your children onto the right path, meaning teach them about God and our, you know, the history of God's people, and they will not depart. And when they are older, now there may be a period where they separate or they explore or they have to, you know, figure out who they are and what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes they have to flounder around a little bit and hit a few walls. I certainly did. But when they are older, they will not leave it. I did come back. In fact, when I had my first son and he was a little infant, I felt so responsible for that little life. And I went to church for him, even though he was an infant in a baby carrier. He didn't know the difference. But for some reason, that burden and that obligation of making sure that he was raised up in a with a firm foundation was important to me. Because all of a sudden, you have a baby and it's not about just you anymore. So anyways, but the study guide went in a different direction. Like I said, it focused more on the unique traits of each child and basically pointed to the fact that as parents and teachers and youth leaders, that we should be careful to recognize the unique qualities of each child and express those and encourage those that can be used for God and help guide them to their unique path that they are uniquely gifted for, or that we feel God has uniquely set apart for them. Here's what it says. Many parents want to make all the choices for their children, but this hurts them in the long run. When parents teach their children how to make decisions, they don't have to watch every step they take. They know their children will remain on the right path because they have made the choice themselves. Train your children to choose the right way. Okay. That's a good point. I see what it's saying. So, and I've always said this, but I just said it differently. So I've often said that we need to teach our children from the inside out and not the outside in. We don't teach our children to sit perfectly and still and dress right and make sure you comb your hair. I mean, we do teach these things, but that shouldn't be the most important thing. What other people see and think of our children is not as important as what's going on inside their hearts and minds, right? Yes, as verse 1 says, choose a good reputation over great riches, being held in high esteem is better than silver and gold. Yes, it is good to have a good reputation, and your kids go out into the world and they are a reflection of you, your household, your parenting, and your belief system. But don't get too caught up on that, because what people see from the outside in is, like I said, not nearly as important as what's going on the inside. And if they are properly trained from the inside out, then they themselves will make the good choices. Because honestly, we can't go to school with our kids. We can't control everything that comes at them. They're on their phones. Most of them, I mean, I gave my kids phones, cell phones at age 13. Some kids get them earlier than that. You know, they have a whole world available to them at their fingertips anytime they want it. So it's very important that yes, we can control the situation when they're young, when they're little, but as they get older, they have to be more and more responsible, and it's our job to train them and warn them of the dangers of just letting anything in. They have to be able to have discernment and recognize what they want to protect themselves from. They need to censor themselves, right? They have to desire to censor themselves and understand why they should let some things in and some things not. So anyways, again, it's kind of about both, I think. But direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. We just need to teach our kids. Another one that relates to children is verse 15. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. We are to discipline our children, and disciplining our children is actually an act of love, assuming it doesn't go too far into the abuse category, right? God doesn't call us to be our kid's best friend. I don't want my kid, when he graduates college, to make a big speech and say how much he loved his mom and how she's his best friend, or his dad and his dad's his best friend. I want to hear, you know, my mom loved me and my dad loved me and they trained me and they taught me and sometimes they punished me because I was doing wrong, but it was the right thing for them to do that. And thanks, mom and dad, for caring enough to discipline me. That's the ultimate for a parent to hear, right? So that's what we should strive for. Okay, what else? What else stuck out to me? Verse 7, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Again, talking about money, and it does that a lot. And here is another one about money, verse 26 and 27. Don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. So Solomon has a lot to say about debt and money, but he goes over this several times about putting up security for someone else. I equate that to being a cosigner on a loan, right? So we should not do that. Okay, verse 29. Do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people. That makes me think of Joseph, remember? How he ended up being sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers, but he ended up, because he was so, well, first he interpreted dreams, and then he was deemed very competent and wise by Pharaoh, the king. And so Joseph rose in the ranks and ended up being Pharaoh's right-hand man. So that's a shining example of how a competent worker ends up serving the king rather than ordinary people. Let me see if the study Bible says anything about that one. Nope, it does not. That would have been curious to me. But anyways, that would definitely be true of any competent workers. When we have integrity and work ethic, which isn't as common anymore. But when an employer knows that their people can be trusted and that they can rely on them heavily to do big jobs, they give them more and hopefully let them rise in ranks. If they don't, then a competent worker should recognize the situation and go somewhere that will. So, yeah, that's about work ethic and integrity for sure. That's really it for today, and actually we're not going to cover all of the Proverbs. It's going to cut, we only have two more chapters in Proverbs, and then we're going to cut into Song of Solomon. So, and then we'll pick back up into Proverbs later, but yeah, only two more chapters left of Proverbs, but that's it for today. I hope you all have a great day, and I will talk to you soon.